This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Intel gives a surprise keynote.
And GPU Supers save lackluster top 500.
Welcome to a special ISC 2010 edition of HPC Wire Soundbite, available on iTunes. Recording from Hamburg, I'm Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research, and I'm joined in Germany by my regular co-host, Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire. Guten Abend, Michael.
Guten Abend.
Hey, Michael, we're at ISC, and one of the fun things we get twice a year at these supercomputing shows is the new top 500 list comes out. And you've done a lot of looking at the new top 500 list. What are some of your thoughts this time around?
Well, this was a pretty unusual one, and I sort of previewed it last week in a blog, and I just didn't think there'd be that much going on, just simply because I thought we were sort of between CPU cycles. We're sort of in a sort of a quiet phase, and the new CPUs that have been coming out this spring really haven't hit the server market that hard yet, so I didn't think there'd be much.
Yeah, I saw the list. Nailed it.
Yeah, but I didn't know how bad it was. I mean, the gist of it was the performance increase from the last list, I think, was the smallest it's ever been. So the turnover was pretty small. It was like 143 systems got turned over, which is just really small. And the overall performance didn't increase nearly as much as any other session in the past. So
it's much less than average. You can usually count on what, the bottom 200 systems fall off or something like that, right?
Right. And I think the bottom system last time was like 20 teraflops, and it went up to 24, which, you know, that's not much. It was, I mean, it was 143 systems, but it wasn't much of an increase. So that was sort of news unto itself, but there was some interesting.
Yeah, nevertheless, you found one interesting trend out there.
Yeah, I mean, I called this wrong, actually. I didn't think there'd be any Fermi GPU supers out there, just simply because they're too new and people wouldn't have had time. But there's actually two Chinese supercomputers that got a hold of some of the Fermi, you know, C2050 cards, and they made, you know, relatively large systems and got their LIMPACK homework in on time and got high rankings. Now, the first one, which was just announced this week, is called Nebula, which is the LIMPACK came in at 1.27 petaflops. That got it to second place, right behind Jaguar, and it pushed.
Here come the Chinese again, Michael. We were talking about China at the last supercomputing conference coming up, and now we got a Chinese system at number two.
Right. I mean, they've been very aggressive, and I think you know, it was pointed out that the rate of increase in Chinese supercomputers is faster than any other country right now. They're really coming up to speed on especially the big systems. So they got a number two slot, which is the highest they've ever been. And then down at number 19 was another Fermi GPU that they announced actually last week. It's called Mole 8.5, and that came in at a couple hundred teraflops. Some of the interesting things about that, though, the number two system that was 1.27 LIMPACK petaflops actually had a peak of nearly three petaflops. So, you know, the LIMPACK efficiency wasn't anything to write home about, but they still managed to get a very respectable LIMPACK performance. And it's, you know, it's quite an achievement for China to put these two big systems on. And they still have a number seven system from last time. So they've got like three systems in the top 20, and they're all GPUs.
Do you think we're going to have one of these Chinese systems at number one come November?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. Now, there's big things coming in November because a lot more people are going to be putting in GPU computers. I think it's possible if they get the Japanese Tsubame machine fully installed by then, they're looking at a 2.4 petaflop system, but that might be peak. So the LIMPACK petaflops are going to be much less. So, yeah, they're going to be vying there because, you know, GPUs are going to be in the market now in a lot of different server systems. So basically anybody can put together a fairly large system with these GPU-accelerated servers and get a good spot on the top 500 list. So it's anybody's game right now. Japan, China, you know, U.S., I mean, I know there's some of that on the drawing board, so. I think it'll be in November with all the Fermi hardware in the field.
You know, I think there's a pretty good shot that we'll see a Chinese system on the top of the list, or possibly Japanese, like you said, at the next list. But, you know, that actually brings out one other story that I think is maybe not getting enough attention with this top 500 list. You know, you say, well, nothing changed. That's actually kind of the point, is that the Jaguar system retained the number one spot, which is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
It doesn't happen that often that you get a system stay as the number one. And you know, if I do a quick compare and contrast of the Jaguar system versus Nebulae or some of the other ones that are up there, Jaguar, it's not like that's a stunt product that's put together to have a high LINPACT number. That's a real production machine that has several codes that run it over a petaflop. So,
right.
You know, taking a bit of a Cray perspective on it, you know, that's like having a world's tallest building that's productive as a building. You can make a world's tallest building out of paper cups. It doesn't make it office space, right? Now, that doesn't say that Nebulae isn't going to run anything, but Jaguar, for sure, is a real production supercomputer that's been in the top spot now for two lists.
Right. Well, I mean, IBM did that with BlueJean for, it seemed like, years for a while, but they just, and I think the Jaguar's maybe going to do the same thing, but maybe not now, but they had a lot of headroom between that system and the next system down, so it makes a little sense that nobody's going to make up three quarters of a petaflop in 6 months. So, but I think it will get competitive. And you're right, Jaguar is a production system. I think they've actually got one or two applications that actually run above the LINPACT performance levels even. So that is impressive. So it is a production system, and Cray really doesn't care about the LINPACT results. I'm sure they appreciate the notoriety of being on top of the list, but yeah, they built it for applications for sure. So yeah, the GPUs accelerated systems kind of have to meet that sort of standard, at least, to come up and start putting sustained petaflop application performance on the board to be taken really seriously by real users.
Right. Other top 500 news, we had, I guess, a slight gain in InfiniBand, right? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty substantial. I think it was like a 33% gain from last time. I think it was 181 6 months ago, and they're up over 207. And I think I just saw a chart today. Gig E went down. InfiniBand's going up, and it looks like they're about to cross over, or maybe not next time around, but sometime in the future. I mean, Gig E, of course, is kind of fading out, but there's no 10 Gig E systems out there. But one good point I heard today that a fellow from Mellanox mentioned is that the majority of the systems in the top 100 of the top 500 are already InfiniBand. So they've already got a majority there. And what tends to happen is those systems kind of push down as the next crop comes up. So as all these InfiniBand systems start to make their way down through this top 500 stack, it only kind of makes sense that you're going to see InfiniBand do that crossover with Gig E. Unless 10 Gig E comes on really strong all of a sudden, I don't know how really they can not do that.
We continue to see InfiniBand doing well at the top end of the market, or well through the market overall. We've been reporting on the success of InfiniBand for a while, but our most recent site census survey doesn't show that same trend for last year throughout the market as a whole. There was actually some strength pushing back in Ethernet last year.
Yeah, I mean, the top 500 is sort of a special case, but and especially at the top end, but like I said, in 2 years, they're all going to be top-end systems by today's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, you're right. The market's a little different. We can't really make any big predictions based on just on these 500 systems. But it is interesting, I think, in that the big systems, it looks like InfiniBand is poised to sort of take that market and get over that 50% value and, you know, maybe two or three more top 500 lists. Did you see any other news you encountered in the first few days that kind of struck you as exceptional?
Well, one big thing everyone's talking about was the Intel keynote that kind of shook things up a little bit.
Yeah, it was barely a keynote. It morphed into a product pitch towards the end there. But basically they announced...
All of a sudden we're at Intel, we're at IDF.
We're at IDF. I mean, they're bringing out speakers and everything. I mean, but it was very interesting. They're back in the HPC accelerator game. They're going to, as sort of they transmitted last week, they're going to take the Larrabee technology and push it into the HPC space using that.
That can't be. Larrabee's dead.
Larrabee is dead from the point of view of GPUs. That's a true statement. So they're not going to call it Larrabee anymore. That was just bad luck for them. So they're going to rename the code name is going to be Knight's Corner. The architecture, the first product.
They got Knight's Corner. They got Knight's Bridge. They got Knight's Ferry. I'm looking for Knight Rider. I don't see it in there anywhere.
Knight's Corner is the name. The Knight's Ferry is the development platform they actually have out and they're shipping. That's based on, you know, once again, the Larrabee platform that I think it might be the exact same one they demoed at SC09 when Justin Ratner was there, or it might be a little bit tweaked, but they're calling it a different name, and then the architecture is called Many Integrated Cores, or MIC, I guess that's pronounced for short. So it's a many cores architecture, and they're aiming it, you know, right at the HPC technical computing space. They're thinking this is where they want to be now. No more GPU stuff. This is a great HPC accelerator, and they're going to sell as a coprocessor for Xeons, basically, and saying, okay, this is an Intel architecture coprocessor. It goes really well with your Xeon server chips, and you know it's going to be basically a terascale chip. They did a demo. They hit like 517 gigaflops on basically a kernel of the Limpac engine. So it's fairly impressive stuff, but it's starting out. They're going to not put out a product until God knows when. They're going to shoot for the 22 nanometer node, and that doesn't happen for any of their chips until 2011. So I'm guessing 2012 maybe we'll see.
I'm not sure even God knows on this one, Michael.
Yeah, at least I would say a couple years away. They're going to try and come up and do what the NVIDIA has been doing basically with its HPC accelerator. Tesla story, so they're going to have to hit a moving target. There's going to be a next generation, GPU out there, and then AMD might come up with a GPU version as well. So, they've got their work cut out for them, but they've got an interesting story, and that's an Intel architecture coprocessor, and they might be able to do very interesting things with it that cannot be done with GPUs, like putting it into a regular CPU socket and hooking it up on a native interconnect. Right on the motherboard. So,
Michael, there's so much interesting about this. It, it really got everyone talking right away. First of all, it pricked my ears up because I've been out there for a while saying that the big battle in the accelerator space is going to come as Larrabee versus NVIDIA, and saying that Intel would have this accelerator. And Intel was publicly saying, no, we're not going to do that. It's only a GPU. We're not going to do it as an accelerator. And that, and I was saying, yeah, but I don't believe it's going to be an accelerator. And then they went and canceled Larrabee. Right. So there I am at the HPCC conference giving a keynote, saying, well, I guess I blew that one. It's canceled, and here I'm wrong. Now I get to not be wrong anymore, but only kind of, because it's not a GPU anymore either.
Right. Now, Intel tends to make everybody wrong in these cases. So they made themselves.
Well, we're back right again in that they're bringing it against NVIDIA as an accelerator. It's not as hard a hit as it would have been if it was an onboard GPU, because if it's an onboard GPU, then they're hitting NVIDIA also at home where they live. Right, because they're trying to take away the GPU market. But this is not as strong a hit because they're only coming as an accelerator.
Right, and it almost sounds to me more like a high-performance chip for throughput computing rather than a GPU. I mean, that seemed like more of a stretch. But the problem is they were going after the market, which they thought could support that. And I think that's still going to be a problem here. I mean, they don't have anything to leverage this technology off. It's not like they can sell this into another market. It's going to be the technical computing and HPC market. So they're going to have to somehow figure out the volume, price, performance,
They will have to figure that out. And, it is going to be an interesting dynamic, Intel competing against NVIDIA. It's an Intel architecture, as you pointed out, which gives them an interesting potential advantage, but ultimately it's going to come down to what the programming model is for this, right, which is still not entirely clear. I mean, they said it's going to be all Intel tools, but that's a bit of an incomplete answer, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and they admit they're going to be upgrading those tools, all the parallel computing tools, to bring this model and this chip into the fold. So if they do that and they do it well, that's the compelling argument to do it. And the other thing they talked about, I talked to the Intel folks afterwards, and they said, one of the problems is the floating point part of this is not the same at this point as on the regular Xeon right. platforms. So, but they're intending to merge those. They're going to make a big push to for floating point in general, increasing performance. They're also going to merge, sounds like they're going to merge those instruction set and just work off a common set at some point, which I think is a big deal. Now, I don't know how far down the road that's going to be. I mean, Sandy Bridge is going to introduce that AVX SIMD instruction set, and I don't know what will become of that. But they are thinking they're going to merge these things. And if they can get a unified x86 architecture and then the tools to back it up, that's a compelling solution.
It's a very compelling solution, Michael, and I think they're right there in the game. But the way I see it is if you had Intel and NVIDIA starting from the same starting line, right, at the starter's pistol go, and Intel's got the integrated x86 architecture, I would bet everything on Intel, and I would sleep well at night not worrying about it. But you give NVIDIA a three-year head start with CUDA, and everything's going to be on the development environment, now I think you got a fair fight. Right. Intel does have, you know, the advantage of it being Intel architecture. That's a lot of people who've tried CUDA by that time.
Right. And by 2012, you assume the ecosystem will be even larger. So, I mean, they're talking, Intel's talking about, you know, the momentum of the x86 software ecosystem, but now they're going to run into the momentum of a CUDA and possibly an OpenCL software ecosystem that they're going to have to kind of blow back. So it is an interesting game. I mean, I think it'll improve the HPC accelerator market if they go through with this. It'll give some choice and it'll stir things up and maybe push NVIDIA to do some more creative things. Who knows? But it's great news, and it's interesting. I'm glad Intel is doing this. I think the Larrabee technology always looked a lot more like an HPC chip to me than a GPU anyways. So that was, I think those were the two big news items in the first couple of days. Did you see any other news you encountered that kind of struck you as really big?
You know, one or two other really, really quick hits that, you know, one is the Terra 100 project getting announced from CEA, the Terra 100 project getting installed at CEA. I think that's a nice win for not only Bull, but also a nice win for LSI, who's putting together a lot of storage with a Lustre front end on that. I thought that was a nice news story. And then there's the Exascale initiative that was signed with Intel and Paratech and Jülich to put us on the path to Exascale. So a couple of other nice announcements going on during the show. What do you think?
Yeah, those are big announcements. I like the Terra 100. They didn't make it to the list this time. They just installed it, but I'm sure it'll be on the November list. And that's a very large system, and the French will get a very high listing on that. It's yeah, like you said, it's a good win for Bull on their newest Nehalem EX based platform. So, and that's good news for Intel as well. So they're still
good news for Intel also. Good point. So Intel's kind of in a lot of these stories going around. I'm gonna have to try to catch up with AMD and see what they're doing.
Yeah, I was gonna catch up with them after the show as well and see what's going on there. But yeah.
Well, by the time we have our next show on Thursday, Michael, we'll be wrapping things up, and we can kind of look at our overall trends from the show. There's a lot of different technology trends that we're trying to evaluate. Maybe we'll give our winners and losers from ISC.
Sounds like a plan, and I'm hoping to see some exciting news pop out in the next couple of days, and we can wrap it up from there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Michael. Enjoy your, I'm sure, very full day tomorrow. And I'll talk to you again at the end of the show on Thursday.
Okay. We'll talk to you, sir, Thursday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael. Good night.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.